Welcome to the Covenant Journey Podcast. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to deepen your faith, knowledge, and love of our Lord Jesus as we explore the timeless treasures of the Bible. Join us now as we explore God's Word.
On this Covenant Journey Bible Podcast, I want to talk about a verse that sometimes might be difficult to understand what its meaning is all about. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Covenant Journey. We're going to begin our study in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, verse 1. This story, by the way, is also repeated in the Synoptic Gospels, the three Gospels that are Synoptics, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And it's in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 28, and also Luke chapter 9, verse 27. Matthew 16, 28, and Luke 9, 27. So this one begins in Mark 9, chapter and verse 1. It says, and it's Jesus speaking, he said to them, "Most certainly I tell you, there are some standing here who will in no way taste death until they see the kingdom of God come with power." So when you're reading that, you often think of the kingdom of God coming with power as the second coming of Christ. Now, some people may look at this and they say, well, it didn't actually happen. These people all died before the end of the world. All of these people who were standing there with him died, and they're not here now. So how does this verse really make any sense? Well, all three in the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they have that phrase that people that are standing here, some of you, Jesus is speaking to a group of people, some of you, he says, who are standing here right now will not taste death until you see the kingdom of God come with power. What does it mean? All three Gospels then follow that statement with the transfiguration. Let's move on to verse 2, Mark chapter 9. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, and brought them up into a high mountain privately by themselves, and he was changed into another form in front of them. Let's stop there. Peter, James, and John were some of those people standing when Jesus spoke what is mentioned in the previous verse. Some of you standing here, Peter, James, and John, you're standing here. And some of you will not taste death until you see the kingdom of God coming. Now, a lot of these people were standing there, more than just these three, and they didn't experience this. But Jesus took those three 6 days later. There's no doubt that in that interim time, and even after the 6 days, people were wondering, I wonder what Jesus means by this. It was so impressive that it was inspired to be put in all three of the Synoptic Gospels. So 6 days after Jesus makes this statement, he then takes three of those individuals, Peter, James, and John, and he then selects them to personally travel with him up into a very high mountain to be by themselves, the four of them, no one else. And he was changed into another form in front of them. Now, the Greek word for change is where we get the word metamorphos. It is morphe, which is your exterior, your form. And then meta is, in this context, can mean to change. So that means that he went through a metamorphosis, a complete change in front of them. Verse 3, chapter 9. His clothing became glistening exceedingly white, like snow, such as no launderer on earth can whiten them. If you get an idea of what this looks like, we're thinking of just white, the whitest white. But in the Greek, some of these words mean like brilliance, flashing, glittering. It was so brilliant that it was hard for them to even see. It was beyond what they could ever imagine was white. It was literally flashing and shining. kind of the only way to get an idea of what this would be like is if you had a very high intensity light that you're looking into, and it's almost hard to even see. But that if you're having light shining off some garment that is full of different glitter and shining, it's just glistening, and things are glistening from this exceedingly white appearance, clothing that was on him that was exceedingly white. And they could only analyze it to what they knew. It was whiter than any launderer on earth could possibly whiten any cloth or any garment. Now, while they're seeing Jesus in this incredible metamorphosis, this incredible change, transformation, glistening, white, radiant, they also see Elijah and Moses in verse 4 appearing to them, and they were talking, Elijah and Moses, with Jesus. Now, they had never seen Elijah or Moses. I doubt if they had photographs of Elijah and Moses, so they couldn't like say, oh yeah, that's Elijah and Moses. But they immediately knew that those two figures with Jesus were in fact Elijah and Moses. Elijah representing the prophets and Moses representing the law. So this is not only two figures from the scriptures, very well-known, prominent figures and leaders, that they learned about even through their lives, whether they were devout or not before, they knew about Moses and Elijah. But they also are representatives of the law and the prophets. And oftentimes the what we call the Old Testament scriptures, or the scriptures for the Jewish people, is often referred to as the law and the prophets. There was also the Psalms, but it's really the law and the prophets. Then Jesus oftentimes refers to the law and the prophets, and the apostles talk about the law and the prophets. What they're talking about is the scriptures. We call them the Old Testament because we now have a New Testament, but it's the scriptures represented in the person of Elijah and Moses, and they're talking with Jesus. I believe it is the embodiment of the scriptures testifying to Jesus, and we'll talk about this as we move through. Peter answered Jesus in verse 5, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let's make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Now verse 6 says why he said that. For he didn't know what to say, for they were very terrified. Now the word for terrified has a preposition, ek, or coming out of, or from, with the word phobia. And it's the like you have a phobia, a fear. And really, if you were to translate this in English, it's like you're out of your wits. You are beyond afraid. This is not just somebody who's afraid, but you're terrified. Peter was absolutely, along with the other two, James and John, they were so terrified. They were out of their wits, if you will. And Peter and none of them knew what to say when they saw this experience. So Peter just blurted out, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let us make three tents. And this is for the Feast of Tabernacles. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He didn't know what to say. But oftentimes he said things even when he didn't know what to say. And the Bible records it. Then verse 7, a cloud came overshadowing them. And it enveloped them. It like hovered around them and enveloped them in the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud. This is my beloved son. Listen to him. Obey him. Suddenly looking around, and they're looking in all directions. Their head is swiveling all the way around them because they look and they saw no one with them anymore except Jesus only. Wow. So the scriptures, Moses and Elijah, are testifying to him. The Father then acknowledges him as his beloved son, tells them to listen to him, and then the cloud disappears along with Moses and Elijah. And they look around and there's no one there anymore. Moses and Elijah are gone. The voice has already spoken. The ultimate revelation has been given. This is my son. Listen to him. They look around and they see only Jesus there, Jesus alone. That in itself is just jam-packed with illustrations and applications and sermon material. all that's there is Jesus, who has been validated by the Father as the Son. Now, it goes on to verse 9. As they were coming down from the mountain, he, meaning Jesus, commanded them that they should tell no one what these things had seen, what they had seen, until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. Verse 10, they kept this saying to themselves, questioning what the rising from the dead meant. Then they also then asked him more questions about why do the scribes say that Elijah must come first? And he said, well, Elijah has in fact come first, and he restores all things, and they say Elijah's already come. Verse 13, that's what they're told by Jesus. And they did to him whatever they wanted to, even as it is written. And the disciples began to realize what he was talking about is John the Baptist had come as the preparer of the way for the Lord, make straight his paths. And we see the Gospel of Matthew beginning with that particular story of John the Baptist proclaiming the way, make the path straight. He is greater, I am lesser. He must increase, I must decrease. I'm not even worthy to untie his sandals from his feet. John the Baptist. So imagine now as they're walking down this mountain and they go back to their group of disciples and followers, and they wanted to ask, what kind of experience did you have? What did Jesus tell you up there on the mountain? Why did you go up there privately? What happened? Imagine wanting to tell your colleagues, your friends, your family about what you just saw, but you heeded the words of Jesus that you would tell no one until after the Son of Man is risen from the dead. And among those three, they would be considering, what does he mean by the Son of Man rising from the dead? You see, we have the advantage looking backwards, and so we don't think through what these people at the time were thinking. First of all, they didn't want the Son of Man. They didn't want Jesus to be crucified. They want him to be the exalted king. In fact, the sons of Zebedee asked, when you come into your kingdom, let me see if we can ask you this one thing, because I see that other people are asking you for things and you do it. For sight, and you give them sight. And Jesus says, what do you want? Well, we want to be one at the right hand and one at your left hand when you are seated in the kingdom. Remember, Jesus said, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what you're asking. But they wanted him to be that figure. So rising from the dead, being mistreated, ultimately dying, crucifying, rising on the third day, that was not in their thinking at the time. So they're wondering, what is this all about? This doesn't become clear to them until ultimately the post-resurrection, and when they ultimately, except for John, see the risen Lord Jesus. John is the only one of the apostles, besides the women, but of the apostles, he's the only one who believed Jesus rose from the dead by simply hearing the word after the resurrection from the women. He believed it when he saw the empty tomb. Peter didn't believe it. Thomas didn't believe it. They were still wondering. And when they finally saw the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, they believed and they transformed the world. And these things that they experienced and what they heard from Jesus were then re-impressed in their memory and in their lives. And so they recounted it. So when we're talking about what does Jesus mean in Mark chapter 1, most certainly I tell you, there are some standing here who will in no way taste death until they see the kingdom of God come with power. That experience was that moment where they began to see the kingdom of God come with power. You remember Jesus said that the kingdom is already here. It's the word that says that the kingdom has arrived. It is always referred to in what's called the Greek perfect. You have present, you have aorist, which is past tense, you have perfect. to kind of get an idea from just a linear perspective, is present would be a line, something ongoing. A past or aorist would be a point in the past, something that happened in the past, or some kind of action that is complete. A perfect would be a period in the past with an ongoing line. It's like what Jesus says. It is finished. That's a perfect. It has been finished, and it continues to remain finished. There was a point in time where it was complete, but the results of that continue on through the present. And so when Jesus speaks about the kingdom has come or it's arrived, the scriptures often uses the perfect. It actually has come in the person of Jesus, and it will continue. The implications of that will continue. I'm not saying this means there is no second coming. I mean that when Jesus came, he brought that kingdom, and it was manifested to the disciples, three of them right here on the Mount of Transfiguration. And obviously, we pray for his kingdom to come. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And obviously, the book of Revelation speaks about the final triumph and the final destruction of death and tears and pain and crying, the new heaven and new earth. That all is the final consummation. But Jesus transformed history. And that transformation of history was evident to these three, Peter, James, and John, on the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus is the embodiment of the kingdom. He is the Son of God. We are to listen to him. He supersedes anything else. He is the ultimate revelation. The scriptures were pointing to him. What I encourage you to do is read these scriptures and take time. There's times to read through them quickly. There's times to just go slowly and think about the events of those times. Wrestle with what the meaning is. Think about what these individuals who hear him thought, and apply it to yourself. The scriptures are full of information. People have given their lives for the Word of God. I encourage you to read the scriptures on a regular basis. Press into our Lord and press in on a daily basis, and be that light, be that hope for all of those around you. For more information, visit covenantjourney.org.
You've been listening to the Covenant Journey podcast. We hope that we have informed, inspired, and encouraged you to deepen your faith, knowledge, and love for our Lord Jesus as we've explored the Word of God. Visit covenantjourney.org, where you can obtain additional notes and information to enhance your study of the Scriptures. The website again is covenantjourney.org. You can also email us at cj@covenantjourney.org. Share this podcast with your friends. Visit covenantjourney.org.